This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Honestly, last night's United States Canada Four Nations Cup game might have done guys more for hockey and its popularity than anything in the last 20 years. It was such a great game. The atmosphere was incredible. And I know I sound terrible, so I apologize this morning. And it was not because I was yelling at that game. But to start it the way it did, I mean, even if you're not a huge hockey fan, you were into that game, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I don't know about Pete.
Josh is standing across from me, Dave. This is the picture. We're standing inside okay. of CCO, right? Al yeah. Schock just walks by. The legendary Al Schock just walked by. He just finished his whole deal. And I'm looking over at Josh, and I go, hey, my mic's not on. he keeps looking at me.
I didn't know I had to do that. Most hosts know how to do this.
He says, hey, don't worry about it.
That's okay. It's okay.
He's always against you, Pete. He's always
I don't know. You know what? It is it's like a WWE wrestling match in here every Sunday morning now when I get in here. I throw him against the ropes and he comes bouncing back.
More to come
off
with that, for sure. For sure.
That's kind of what the game looked like last night.
Dave, you sound great, by the way.
You do. Thanks a lot. You sound like you feel like $1 million, and I'm
I have been battling this cold for the better part of like 3 weeks.
Yeah, you have had a little something dragging for a while.
It just will not leave forever, and I don't know.
We got to get you over to Camp Nigerian. That's what we got to do. We're going to get you a lot of water, you know, some juices of different types, all kinds of vitamins. I mean, I grew up on that stuff, Dave. I knock on wood, I am never sick.
Knock on wood. By the way, he said knock on wood because he still hasn't grown up. So
wait, what is that? Yeah.
Oh, by the way, not nice of you to invite me to Camp Nigerian. I'll
try. You can come anytime, but you're not sick. Yeah, thank you, Dave.
I had cancer at one point. I'm still
that's a good point.
A while back. It's not like it's yesterday.
Okay, feels like it.
Dave, I will say this. I did not get a chance to see this whole thing in the hockey world, but I did see it afterwards because I was off doing something else with my wife, and it was still an extended part of the whole Valentine's Day. But I got to tell you something. I love how that started.
Yeah.
There's just something about the emotion and everything that goes into it that made that just really emphasize how great hockey is right now. And I honestly believe that. My wife – it might be her favorite sport right now in the last couple of years. She has fallen in love with the sport of hockey.
I mean, it's done more for the Four Nations Cup, I think, has done more for the popularity this week of the league than anything I can remember in the last few years. And so you have Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk. They both get in fights to start the game.
There's a shocker.
What you love about it is, you've got your all-star football now, which is basically a quiz show and trying to catch footballs with mascot hands. You've got
so awful.
What the NBA now has become, you know, just kind of a little skills competition. But here you go. You got hockey taking a break in the middle of the season to play these rivalries that are just so great and to the point where I never in a million years thought we would be seeing fights in this tournament. Because when you watch Olympic hockey, you don't see that. It's not like that. But it's I think it's great. I mean, I'm not a big fan of forced fights per se, and I know that that's a whole other topic. But when you're playing for your country, and it sounds like there was just a lot of bad blood between the two sides anyway that spilled over from the NHL into this game. It's just, I mean, the atmosphere created was incredible. And you heard it over and over again. I heard Matt Boldy talking about how incredible it was. The atmosphere was like an Olympic gold medal match. It was just, people were screaming and booing and falling on their seats. And I mean, it was just great. It was an awesome game.
I think that is the perfect comparison. It's like the Olympics, because it is like the Olympics, right? I mean, we've got USA against Canada. We've got all these different lineups. You've got Sweden. You've got, you know, Finland, all of this. And I think that's what makes this so interesting, Dave. We all have been talking about what the NFL has done. They've ruined everything that has to do with that Pro Bowl and all those kinds of things. And I think the NBA probably has continually been about the same. You know, you've got the dunk and you've got all the rest of the shooting and everything else. But I got to tell you something. There's something energetic about hockey and the fact that you do feel like, hey, this is so close to being an Olympic, you know, head-to-head match. It's incredible and so much fun. So much fun. I think this makes hockey in the NHL really be much more, I think, attractive to people. And this couldn't have come at a better time for the NHL.
And you're going to get now, more than likely, the championship game of Canada-US again, I think.
You think they dropped the gloves early?
I mean, how does that work, Dave? I guess I'm trying to still figure that out. Obviously, yesterday was the first time I've been able to actually sit down this past week and watch this. So do we not know, like, what the championship game matchup is for Thursday?
I don't know if we know what it is yet. I don't know if the
season's not right. Finland-US? Like, I thought the two winners from yesterday were basically the locks for Thursday, but maybe
I'm
not.
I'm trying to find that right now.
I think
if that is the championship game, buckle up. Like, seriously.
How awesome would that be?
Like, I will go on air, and if the higher at B's hear this, not CCO, but my other job, I will call out sick on my other job if that is the Thursday matchup. I have zero issue with that.
Do you skate, by the way? Do you play hockey, or have you ever done
No, I do not. I'm not very skilled at much.
Oh, let me tell you, you'd be great on skates.
I live right across from Central Park in Maple Grove. So,
Dave, could you imagine that? Josh on a pair of skates going around there.
Now we're taking jabs at the producer.
I mean, I'd jump out of the way.
Yeah, you probably
would. Jump out of the way for sure.
Yeah. No,
I'm trying to figure out how this all works, but I can't quite see it.
I thought yesterday, I know a lot of people were against the initial, like, three fights to start the game. Yeah. Wow. The building was already electric as it is in Montreal, but the three fights just added a little extra juice, and I actually liked it. I love the fact that they were able to get kind of the blood flowing for everybody in the arena and everybody on the ice, and the boys, you know, the boys on the bench loved it. You know, the coaches were kind of like, all right, let's no injuries. Let's not get injured in this,
but
scrap it up. But no, I loved it. I thought it got me on my feet, especially when the third fight happened. I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, let's keep this thing going. Let's get that penalty box filled up. But, it was fun to watch. It's all we're doing is having fun. And it's good to see these guys, you know, usually playing across from,
it's all about your country. It's great.
Yeah.
That's why it's great.
It's so good.
The U.S. is on to the finals, even though they play one more game. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you have two wins, you're moving on. Canada's got one. They play again. They have to play one more game. If they win, I would assume they're moving on. Mm-hmm. So whoever wins that, the next Canada matchup, where is that game? I'm looking at the wrong sheet here. That'll be the other spot in the finals. So it would be awesome. I would love to see it again. So there it is. Canada-Finland play on Monday. And my guess is whoever wins that one goes and faces off against the United States in the finals.
Who do you think wins that one, Dave? You're the hockey guy in the room. Let's be honest. Canada does.
I was not super impressed with Finland in their first game. They've played well. Sweden's played well. But Canada, I mean, they have literally the best guys in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at your power play, and it's got Cale Makar, Sidney Crosby.
when he's not sick, yes. Cale Makar was out, yeah.
who's a McDavid. I mean, like, you're trying to figure out who's on your power play with that group?
Here's another thing I'll add to it, too. You saw when the game ended, obviously, Team USA was super pumped, super thrilled to have the win. You look at Team Canada, they literally look – you look at Sidney Crosby's face because they show Crosby and they show McDavid. You would have thought that they just lost in the Stanley Cup final. That's how defeated – that's how much this game means to these people. Mm-hmm. You saw the look of just total defeat on their faces. And that's what's so great about this is this means so much more than just, you know, a break from the NHL schedule to these guys. This is for all the marbles. There's a lot riding on this face-off.
And there's two sides to this argument. We've got a text in to the WCCO Talk text line that says, shame on you for promoting the fighting in hockey. Great example for the kids. Maybe you should be promoting friendship instead. I understand that. I understand what you're saying. But here's the thing. There's already fighting in hockey.
Yeah.
They don't. I mean, it's not going away. And the kids at the younger levels,
it's
are not
as
to
frequent
fight.
As it used to, and obviously that's something that they're trying to kind of alleviate in the game. And I get it, CT and all that stuff. That I get it, but this is off the books. This is not NHL. This is literally Four Nations. This is this is for all the marbles. They're throwing it all out there. There's no exceptions to this.
Well, let us know what you think. Is the fighting okay? Is it acceptable because it means something, or is this still a bad example for young kids playing hockey? 651-461-9226. You can get us on the WCCO Talk and Text line. Do we have a talk back button now?
We do.
Nice.
We do.
Yeah, we're advancing. We are the head of technology in radio.
tell us how people do that.
They can obviously, if you don't already, which why don't you have the Odyssey app? Hit the little microphone button. You can record. I believe it's a 30-second max recording of what you think, and let us know how either terrible Dave's voice sounds or how terrible it's my awful. Take is, or
do you hate the fights?
How handsome Pete Najarian is. We'll see. Yeah.
Do you hate the fights? Should fights be allowed in international competition?
Should Pete and Josh fight? Yeah.
That would be great.
That would be. We should
need
put
the
on
cameras
the
inside.
We need Brad to get the stream going on.
Dave,
here.
If you ever make it down here, you could be the ref between me and Josh. I tell you, I'm ready for this.
That'd
one,
be
too.
The easiest job in the world. It'd be over in 5 seconds.
Yeah, true. Yeah, Pete wouldn't stand a chance.
That's true.
Oh, my gosh. The other big news this week, Aaron Rodgers is done with the New York Jets. Does he even play in 2025? We'll discuss it next. Into the WCCO Talk and Text line, fighting in hockey is a bad example. I expected Olympic-style rules where it's more skating. Most of the fights could be prevented if the referees called penalties. The amount of uncalled cross-checks is unbelievable, to quote Sid. I don't know that. I mean, the three fights were right off the jump. These guys were ready to fight right away.
They knew what was happening before the game started.
It was a plan. It was a plan.
The Kachuk brothers knew both game plan for that.
What were we, 15 seconds into the game?
Matthew literally reached his hand out as he was skating to the penalty box and dapped him up, gave him a nice high five. You knew what was happening. They had the plan. It's all fun and games. Everybody lighten up. My goodness.
And this is the thing. You can't have it both ways, okay?
Yeah.
People get mad that the All-Star games and all that stuff has become a joke. The in-season in-season NBA tournament is a joke.
Yes.
So you don't like that. Now we give you an in-season tournament where these guys are playing for their country and they're so into it. It's like fight night at the Apollo, and it's awesome. You know, I understand the idea that you don't want orchestrated fighting, and it's a bad example. I get it. But it is not allowed in any other levels other than professionally in juniors.
Right.
And so, like, it's not like we're telling them, okay, go fight in your next Pee Wee game. You're not allowed to. You get kicked out for a really long time if you throw a punch. So you cannot have it both ways. Either you can have a matchup that it means something, or you can have flag football.
Yep.
What do you want?
I'm with you, Dave. I am totally with you. I'll tell you what, for the non-hockey watchers, I think you drew in a lot more people.
Yes.
You know, whether people like that or don't, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it pulled a lot more people. People are seeing the stories this morning and all the rest of it. And I'll tell you what, I think it made a lot of sense. And I think that it truly is. Was it planned? Of course it was. But is it also the emotions of this whole thing? Absolutely. These guys, you know what? The adrenaline was pumping and that got them going.
Yeah, it means something. So I'm sure we'll continue to talk about this as the show goes on. You can call us, text us, or do the talkback button on the Odyssey app if you know how to do that. I don't, but I would love if you do. This week, gentlemen, Aaron Rodgers' time in New York is done.
Done.
At 41 years old, he has played his last game in a New York Jets uniform. He's 41. Mm. 41. First thing, Pete, before we talk about where he might go,
yeah,
is he really going to try to play again next year?
Yes. I think it's just who Aaron is. I think he wants, if he can find the right spot, and I think there's so many of them, Dave. I it's interesting because we just finished this whole thing with this coaching carousel, right? It has moved and moved, and the very last one was the Saints, and they went out and they grabbed their coach. But now it's all about quarterbacks, and I don't think in my lifetime, I don't remember a time where there are so many good size or even big names out there that are going to be shifting around, I think. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of them. And where does Aaron Rodgers go? Everybody's got him lined up for different spots, right? And I think it all depends on what does the team have and do they have what it takes for him to be able to say, I want to play one more year because these guys can go to the Super Bowl. Because if that's not a possibility, I don't think Aaron wants to come back. But I'll tell you what, here's where I think he goes, Dave. I think he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You think so?
They've got two kind of 2A and 2B type quarterbacks right now, right? And they need
but
somebody.
Do you want him in your locker room?
That's the interesting thing, and I don't know if he and the head coach would be able to get along pretty well or not. But here's the thing. If it's a team that's ready and they're just a quarterback away, I don't think Aaron's going to be nearly as disruptive as what we saw with the Jets. The Jets had too many problems going on with the Jets, let's be honest.
He was one of them, though.
He was one of the problems. I agree with you. I think Aaron was he put down his head, and he basically flushed it this past year. He really did. And he still put up good numbers. But, you know, when you look around the league and you get a guy like maybe it's Kirk Cousins goes to Cleveland. What happens with Tennessee who needs a quarterback, right? I mean, Cam Ward, he's probably going to be the quarterback to be drafted somewhere very high, and I think Tennessee might be one of those kind of teams. I look at Sam Darnold. You know where I think is the best spot for Sam Darnold? I think if he goes to the Las Vegas Raiders with Pete Carroll, let's see, they got a little bit of a USC tie together there. Sam is coming off of his best NFL year, and I think that the Raiders have a lot of pieces to the puzzle that would help him out where it would make a lot of sense, and they probably can figure out ways to do it from a financial standpoint. They always can. If they really want to, they can make those decisions. Here's the one that I wonder about is, are we okay with J.J. McCarthy, and that's what it is with the Minnesota Vikings? And I am, personally. But
I am, too.
He's got to get healed. He's got to get more weight. He's got to do a lot of things, and all those things I think are a very easy possibility. But you know, another name out there, Dave, that I wonder about is Stafford. That name keeps coming up, right? Yep. The Rams. I'm amazed that there is an issue there, but they haven't paid him, don't want to pay him the kind of money he wants to make. And then it comes into this position of, well, what happens to Stafford? Does Matt Stafford actually say, you know what, this team or that team or whatever team it might be? Is it the Giants? Is it the Saints? Is it who? You know, it's one of those kind of things. So there's a lot going on with all these quarterbacks that are older quarterbacks, but they have that salt left in them, I think, to maybe get there one more time. And does Derek Carr, where does he go? There's so many possibilities, I think, that I've never seen it so open in the free agent market potentially as we've seen this offseason. Could be pretty interesting.
But didn't Aaron Rodgers learn anything from Brett Favre? I don't understand this, Pete, and maybe you can help me understand, because you were a professional football player. I was not. At some point in your head, you have to admit to yourself that you don't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. And why tarnish what you've done? He's won Super Bowls. He's won MVPs. He's had a great career. Why hang on to go play a year or two in Pittsburgh or Cleveland or LA or the Vegas, any of these places, so that you can win one more Super Bowl? I mean, the odds of that happening are so far. I don't care who you are, but at 41, you're not going to do it. I just it drives me nuts, because I thought that he of all people would understand the value in saying, "I'm done. Mm-hmm. I've proved everything I have to prove," and I get it. The outlier is always going to be Tom Brady. right? Mm-hmm. Tom Brady got to play more, and Tom Brady did everything, and that's great. But why tarnish your record more than you have the last 2 years to try to play one more season and maybe hope at grabbing one more trophy? I just don't get it.
I think he looks at Brady and sees what Brady was able to do after all that lengthy time that Brady spent up in New England and all the winning and the Super Bowls and everything. And he probably looks at that to some degree, Dave. That's why I think if it is Pittsburgh that he goes to, it makes sense. Because is Russell Wilson probably the right guy? Probably not. Is Justin Fields? Probably not. Neither one of them played poorly necessarily last year, but they also didn't really shine. And I think when you look at that defense, you look at the running game, you look at the receivers that they've got, this is a team that's a quarterback away. And they had two quarterbacks this past year who were somewhere down the line, but they are no longer where they once were. Well, okay. I shouldn't say that about Justin Fields. Justin Fields hasn't gotten to anywhere yet, but I think he's talented. I think he's a guy.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You're Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. You're a quarterback away. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have Sam Darnold after the year he had or Aaron Rodgers?
And that's the battle that they'll have to deal with, right? I mean,
because no way do I want Aaron Rodgers. I don't like his numbers. I don't like the drama. I'm done. I'd rather have Sam Darnold.
Well, I don't necessarily totally disagree with you on that, especially from what he's been able to, you know, what he's done in the locker room and how polarizing I think he became last year. I agree with you on all of that. But, you know, the amazing thing is when you look at Aaron Rodgers' numbers last year, they really weren't that bad. You know, for all of what we've been saying about Aaron Rodgers and this and that, and you know, it is, I think, real, but how about 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and almost 4,000 yards passing? I mean, that's not bad numbers considering the fact he came off the Achilles injury and they weren't the team that they were, I think. Had he not torn his Achilles the year before, I think that was a team that was built to do something pretty special. But then when they didn't, they started to fall apart. Then they started losing people, and they lost a few guys on offense and defense. Last year, it just wasn't the year for the Jets, for sure. And obviously, they do something about the coaching staff and all the rest of it. So is Aaron Rodgers a guy who can do that? Can he keep his head down and his mouth shut when he's in Pittsburgh?
No.
He probably can't. He probably can't. But he might not have to be angry. He might not have to be pointing the finger at guys. It's a really tough one, I think, for me. If Aaron wants to play, there are teams out there will want to have Aaron playing.
I have more thoughts, but we're up against the break. This is my favorite text. This just in, the Chicago Bears have signed Aaron Rodgers to a 7-year deal. That's great. All right. We'll take a quick break and do the fast break next.
Pete loves to have his mic hot at all times, and I don't know why not.
I was going to jump in and say, hey, Dave, it's daggone cold outside.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, if we're going to be accurate, it's worse than daggone, but I don't think we can say that.
Right. It's as clean as I could get.
That's good. That's good, buddy.
Well, today's the day, guys. Yeah. It is the day we've all been waiting for. I was telling Pete about this during the break. It's NBA All-Star Sunday, baby.
Oh.
Yes, we've all been waiting for this day. It's Kenny Smith's Young Stars taking on Chuck's Global Stars. And then, of course, we have Candace's Rising Stars taking on Shaq's OGs. On a scale of 1 to 10, Dave Schwartz, how excited are you for tonight's All-Star action?
There's no negatives.
Two. Mm. Maybe. Why do they have four teams?
It's a new structure they're doing this time. It's pick your teams and in the category that they fit. Yeah.
This is what, but to our point where we started the show, this is why I don't care, because they don't care. I would rather watch a tournament where there's passion and they actually care, like the Four Nations Face-Off. I don't, you know, they're not, this game tonight, they're going to be like 145 to 143. There's no defense. I'm not into it. I'll watch, probably.
Yeah, they might end up, Dave, they might end up scoring close to 400 points. I mean, that's how ridiculous this whole thing has gotten. And by the way, they should have an all-load management team. Just throw those guys out there and just see how they do, just to kind of get things mixed up a little bit, right? I mean, that has ruined the game along with so many different things, Dave, and these all-star games. I got to tell you, outside of maybe the NHL, I really don't know. The NFL, they even do a terrible job with it. It's changed so much. But this NBA, it's just nothing. It really isn't. I mean, the dunk competition was pretty fun. That always has been. That goes back for many, many years. And I'll tell you what, this young kid who does it, he basically, they just sign him to a contract for like a week or two just so he can do the dunk competition every year. It's pretty classic.
Mac McClung?
Yeah, McClung.
You guys are funny.
That's awesome.
You guys are funny.
What do you got?
Pete,
it's a riot.
We're going to go on to this next one. Finally, after waiting past the Super Bowl, the Saints have hired Kellen Moore as their new head coach. Of course, found success as the Eagles' offensive coordinator and was at one point to interview for the head coaching vacancy here before KOC. What does Kellen Moore bring to the Saints to finally compete with the Tampas and the Tampas and the Tampas of the NFC South?
You know, he's a guy who was a great quarterback himself.
You're such a homer.
Oh, yeah. Because there's so many other competing teams in the
Baker
NFC
Mayfield's
South.
The greatest ever.
Better than anything you've
he's
ever
gotten
had.
A lot better. I'll tell you what. That guy, I mean, he was a disaster as the first pick. Right now, for sure. Absolutely. I think Kellen Moore brings a lot of the offensive side of the game when you look at it. New Orleans has struggled here and there, and they've had many coaches, many quarterbacks, and they've just kind of gone through this whole system. Derek Carr, it just didn't work, and that's why I think he goes somewhere else. But maybe not. Maybe this is something where, you know, I think Kellen is an interesting guy who really could fit into that. But he's an offensive guy, so he's got to get both sides. If he can put together a decent staff on defense, they've got players. Now it's just a matter of can they get those players to play at the next level, and it's been a struggle. The Saints, for the people who don't know this, they used to be one of the most losing franchises that there was. All
they
of a sudden,
the
they
Aints,
had a big
remember?
Run. Yeah, they were terrible. Yeah, they were the Aints.
Prior to, like, what, Drew Brees?
Yep. And yeah. Drew Brees just got them to that next level where they were actually a playoff-caliber team that was pretty daggone good. They need to revisit that, and I think Kellen Moore might be the right guy for that job.
Dave.
Josh, I agree with everything. I'm not going to say anything to Pete. Pete's has forgotten more football than I know. So
that's true.
I agree. It'd be great. I think Kellen Moore has the pedigree. I mean, they certainly done his – how long was he an assistant for? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, quite a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, he's ready. It's nice to see. And I love that we're seeing this kind of – shift a bit to the younger coaches, so, you know, that kind of get today's players.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you know, you look at the two youngest guys, coaches in the league, are Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell. You know, both of those teams did pretty well this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think going for a younger coach who understands the game but also understands how to coach young players makes a big difference.
David, is that time of the year again. Pitchers and catchers report to spring training. A couple of huge splashes last week. The sun is shining. It's 83 degrees and we're only 8 months away from the Twins' first parade.
It's
in 30.
83 in Florida right now?
Something like that.
Yeah.
We're only 8 months away from the Twins' first parade in just about 33 and a half, 34 years. What is your early level of expectation when it comes to this team?
Oh, man.
Have they done enough in the offseason?
Did you not hear me? They just made two huge splashes in free agency in the last week. We're set. We're good.
Were they huge, though? I mean, like, they weren't huge.
I got my lawn chair already over on Nicollet, ready to go. Let's do this.
Yeah. Just wait for me. If I don't show up closer to the parade, just, you know, give myself
a I'll stop by City Center.
I'm excited. I do love when baseball season gets here because it does signal that, okay, like, it's time. We're getting there.
It's spring.
I think that they haven't done enough yet still to prove to me that this team's going to be that much more improved than last year. And I still want to know who the heck's going to own the team.
Yeah.
You know, they still haven't figured it out. I mean, I guess it'll be the pole ads until they sell. But at this point, and that, as we talked about with the Timberwolves many times, that plays a factor in what you're going to do. If you can't, is ownership going to spend money if they're about to be out of being owners? So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. But I do think that they I don't think they've made a whole big splash. And
they did not. He's over there smiling ear to ear when he says that. Let me tell you, there's no splash at all.
Team Twins, baby. Let's go. Big splash.
We collapsed in the second half last year. That was the problem. We actually were sitting pretty, right? And then all of a sudden, the second half of the season, we started to fall apart. We had all these losing streaks, you know, four games, seven games, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was the real problem because we didn't do anything at the trade deadline because I think the owners basically said, well, you know what, we're done. Let's sell this thing and let's get somewhere else.
I agree.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. I actually like the signing of Harrison Bader, a decent center field that if Buxton gets hurt yet again, which he almost certainly will.
Yeah.
But like right-handed pitcher Alex Bias, Andrew Morris, Ryan Jensen. Like I've never even heard of these guys. And I'm not the biggest ball guy in the world, but we still need pitching. You still got to have you still got to have some more pitching, and they don't have it.
All right, Beats. On to the next little fast break here.
Boy, you sound so excited.
He does, and it's
well. I'm trying to multitask here. Hang on.
Producer's show over yet?
Yeah. Pete, your guy Dak Prescott made some waves this week, and I do actually have a little piece of audio I'm going to play for you guys, so you can listen to. But better if I turn my mic on. Here's what Dak Prescott said about the now Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, and where his team levels with them.
Mm. I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we've played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned and they deserved it by all means. But yeah, very close. Especially when you even watch the NFC game, the NFC Championship, and those two teams that we battle against each and every year, a couple of times. And as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them.
Your thoughts, Pete?
You know, I don't even hardly think that you can compare the two teams. When you look at the offensive line, the defensive line, Philadelphia is better. The quarterback position, I'd say Philadelphia is better. The running back position, Philadelphia is better. So I don't know. You know, obviously you can play some close games and all the rest of that, and that's to their credit. But I don't see a position in the game right now where I would say, you know what, Dallas has got this advantage on them. They just don't.
Yeah.
And everywhere you look, Philadelphia's got the advantage.
They didn't make the playoffs. How can you even say that you're
playoffs?
Yeah.
How can you even? And I get it. Like, you got to have swagger. You got to have confidence. And I get that. But you can't say that you were close.
Right.
When you were 7-10 last year, you were 2-7 at home. Give me a break.
So
dude.
I will add this question to you guys. Pete, you go first.
Okay.
Is Dak Prescott confident or delusional?
I'd say he's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. He's definitely got that confidence. He's got that huge contract that he just got. And he's a little bit delusional because of the fact that he's trying to compare their team to Philadelphia. Really?
Yeah.
They're not comparable.
No.
I know they're adversaries. They're not very happy with each other when they play. But I don't know how he can look at it any other way than Philadelphia is the dominant team. And Dallas is just very average.
Yeah,
and I get it. He has to say it, right? Like, what's he going to say? I'm going to be honest. We suck. We're so far away.
You said it on the bench. You saw him mouth it earlier this season.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're so far away, it's not even close. It's probably the worst thing he could have said. So I get it. He wants to seem confident. He wants they have to sell tickets. I get all that, although it's not like the Cowboys are ever going to not sell tickets.
He might have a point, though. They are really close as far as, like, competition level, because if you look at the two games they had this year, Eagles beat the Cowboys 75-13 in both games combined. That's pretty close.
That's close. That's not bad. I mean, you're right there.
That's right there. That is right there when it comes to competition
in the
NFL.
75-13. My God.
Yeah, that's they're right there neck and neck with the Eagles, I tell you.
Brilliant. Yeah. Just brilliant, Josh.
And that's all for Fast Breaks.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. We'll wrap up hour number one coming up after this. Sad deal this week, Pete.
Yeah.
Greg Sharp is his name, the announcer in Nebraska who you had a relationship with, passed away after a battle with pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be very close friends with Tom Osborne for many, many years. He recruited all my brothers and myself, and none of us ended up going to Nebraska, and yet when my daughter went there, he was the happiest guy in the world, and he's just been a friend going all the way back to literally 1977, something like that, when he first started recruiting, and a lot of guys from Central High School here in Minnesota had gone and had good careers there, not only in college, but then NFL careers following that. So good relationship with the good folks in Lincoln. How sad is that, though, Dave? This Greg Sharp, unfortunately, had pancreatic cancer. He's been the play-by-play for college football, for Nebraska football since 07, and then in 08, he became the baseball guy as well. So you know, in the last year or so, he's been battling this thing. He's only 61 years old, for crying out loud. It's just, it's a sad thing, but it's, you know, it makes you pause for a second sometimes, and you think about a lot of different other things and so forth. But those voices, even though you may have never met a guy like Greg Sharp or any of these other guys who do the play-by-play for the University of Minnesota in whatever sport, take your pick, you feel like you know them, that you feel like they're a part of you, they're a part of the family and all the rest of that. And it's a sad moment when you have to unfortunately find out, you know, this kind of news and deliver that news. And it's at 61 years old, it's just too young. It's a sad thing. But, you know, I remember as a player, you know, even before I was a player at the University of Minnesota, just listening to the play-by-play and the color and just, you know, it was Gopher football, man. It was Gopher basketball. It was all these different things. And they become a part of the entire experience. And, I think that's why Nebraska losing Greg Sharp is such a big deal, because that's the voice. It's the voice that everybody knows, and it's not going to be there this fall or this spring.
It's hard. I mean, I don't think people understand how difficult college play-by-play is. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have a production staff. You don't have, they're not giving you notes on everything. You're doing that yourself.
Yeah,
everything.
You got to go out. You meet these guys. You set up your stuff. Like, he's pounding the pavement himself to get all this information. Mm-hmm. And baseball is one of the hardest sports to do play-by-play for. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's impossible. I that's one sport I have not done. I've done, I think, just about everything else at this point in my life. But baseball's hard. There's just so much downtime.
Yeah.
It's just so challenging, especially on the radio. But you're right. I mean, these voices become the school. Mm-hmm. They become an extension of the program. You know, I think about Mike Grimm here at the University of Minnesota. He does a phenomenal job.
He does.
And he knows everything about these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows everything about the players that he needs and for all the sports. So that is tough, but it is tough.
It's a lot of work goes into that, Dave, because you're going to practices, you're talking to coaches, you're trying to get to know some of the players so you have a little bit more insight into who they are, what they are, where they came from.
You can't just search up their stats. You know, you can't just Google them.
No, not if you're good.
You got to find out. Yeah.
If you're good and you're determined, you do all of those things. I did color commentary for ESPN for the better part of like 8 or 10 years, and I'll tell you, it was the most fun time in my life, I think, in terms of – you know, I was able to get away from the stock market for a day or two and just focus on the sports side of it and college football. And it's phenomenal. It's so much fun. But it takes a lot of work to do it right. If you do all that work, it's never fatiguing, though. It's one of those things where it's just exciting because you're knowing more. You're watching all the film. You're doing everything you can. And you get a chance to sit down with these players, these coaches, and get to know them and have a friendship with them. Doesn't mean you're still not critical, because you got to be critical when something goes wrong. But you get to know everybody. And people, you know, they don't all have thin skin. Most of these guys don't have thin skin. So they understand when they make some mistakes, just like anybody else. So, you know, it's just a fun thing to put that all together. And I think Greg Sharp had the kind of voice that people just lived for. I know I did, because my daughter was going to school down there and worked with the football program down there in Nebraska. And it was, I would listen to it on the drive in as I was getting in for football games and stuff like that. It was great.
Yeah. It is a challenge, but it's a life, you know, that's why you do it, because you love it. So, sad to see him pass away from pancreatic cancer. It's just terrible. It's just terrible. Yeah. So we'll step aside and take a break. Coming up top of the next hour, what is the offseason list for the Minnesota Vikings? What do they need?
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are they going to draft? What are maybe they going to get in free agency? We'll talk about it next.